guess this is working. Yeah.
It's working.
Okay. Barely. In fact, I apologize for this morning because I am tired. We had company the whole weekend, and when they show up at 1 o'clock in the morning on some of this, it gets a little difficult for me. Anyway, so I'm a little tired. Okay, we left off 1 John chapter 3. And I think we're about verse 9, if I remember right. We approached verse 9. We can back up a little bit and just read down through it. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him that is in Christ sinneth not. And of course we know this is not an absolute never sinning, because we know we still sin, but it's a different way of life though, you know. And I think that we'll see that through these verses. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him, hath known him. And we discussed this last time. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. In other words, the Christian has a desire to act like Christ as he is righteous, and to be righteous as he is righteous. And this righteousness, of course, we'll discuss more, is the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of man. And there's a difference, I think. Maybe some of man's laws correspond to God's laws, but God's righteousness is what's in view here. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. He was manifested in the flesh and died on the cross, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came into the world, wasn't it? Verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You know, and that in the absolute, it almost sounds like sinless perfection, but this is not what it's talking about, okay? Yeah, it makes you think about it, doesn't it? I'll tell you one thing, it does say this, we better have a new nature. You know that? If nothing's changed in the new birth, if we claim to be born of God and nothing's changed, then we have a problem, probably, I think. Because he says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, that's quite a statement. Of course, when it says, whosoever is born of God, it's speaking of those that are regenerated. Right? Regenerated. And let me say this, and partakers of the divine nature. See, and if you're a partaker of the divine nature, things have changed. 2 Peter says, chapter 1, I'm going to quote that, so I'm not making this up, that we're partakers of the divine nature. Not something that's made up. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Wow, that's quite a statement right there, isn't it? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because why? You obtain the divine nature. And I think that's what it speaks of here. So if we are a partaker of the divine nature, then how can we just continue in sin? You see what I'm getting at? The divine nature. You think the divine nature seeks after sin and is okay with lusting and all those things that go along with the old man. I don't think the divine nature likes that stuff. Do you think? I don't think so. And we're partakers of, it says here that we're partakers of the divine nature. And of course that happens in the new birth. If we are born from above, as John 3:3 indicates, if you go look at that word born again, and I think it, again, is okay because we were born naturally in the world, so there is a new birth, right? But that word, again, if you go look up the Greek, it says from above, from a higher place. So if we've been born from above, okay, as indicated, if we've been born of the Spirit of God, does the Spirit of God sin? No. Does he lead the subject that has been born again to sin? No. So there's something happens to the born again believer, and that's what I think the John is alluding to here. Okay, God has implanted a new nature within the regenerated person, and this new nature is toward godliness, if that makes any sense. Okay, and so he says here, doth not commit sin. So we know that the believer does still sin. And we've already covered that before in the previous chapters here. But the believer still has a new nature, and therefore his path in life, if I can say it that way, is not to continue in sin, and his desire is to be like his Savior, who is without sin. Right? That's right. That would be the desire. He is bent toward righteousness, if that makes sense. And I know we're not always bent toward righteousness, and God have mercy on us, right? But the believer, the one that's been regenerated, is bent toward righteousness, and not self-righteousness of man, but that righteousness that's of God. I believe that's true. Gill says it this way: he is not without the being of it in him, or free from the acts of sin in his life and conversation, but he does not so commit it as to be the servant of it, a slave unto it, or to continue in it. He's a new creature. That's all there is to it. He's a new creature in Christ. That's all there is to it. Now, the world has a way that seemeth right. We know that. What is it? There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways are death, right? And so there is a way that seemeth right. Seemeth right. They call many things that are sin good and righteous, but God calls it sin. That's a fact. I see that going. This new thing lately, you know, I'm going to touch on, about the abortion stuff that's come up. I'd like to make a few comments on that. Okay? We'll get to it. The wicked are right in their own eyes, aren't they? Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them," and this is pretty good scripture, really. It applies to a lot in our day. He says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil." That's what they do. They call Christ evil, and what they believe was good. He told them they are the father of the devil. But he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Change it all around, don't they? Well, that's good. That's good over there, right? And God says it's sin. What? Reprobate. That's what they're reprobate. That's right. They switch it. Yeah. "Woe unto them that are wise." He goes on in the next verse. "Woe unto them." He didn't stop there. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes." Yeah, and boy, they talk about it. They know what's best, and they know what's good, and they know what's right, and they know what's immoral and what's not immoral, and they don't have a clue. "And prudent," "and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink." In other words, they like getting pretty soused, I guess, is what that's talking about, you know. And so that's the wicked. And we know that the Bible says There in the last days, perilous times will come because they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. There are, and this is what I'm gonna tell you the exact quote of this. There are some faith leaders, call themselves faith leaders. They don't have the faith of God, but these faith leaders are to bless an abortion clinic in Columbus, Ohio, shortly. Now think about that. They're going to go to an abortion clinic and bless it. You've got to be joking me. They are calling it a clinic blessing. They're going to do a clinic blessing. And they say this, faith leaders, they call themselves, will be gathered next month for a clinic blessing, they call it. A blessing for an abortion clinic that's in Columbus, Ohio. I've already said that. And this is their quote. Anti-abortion advocates do not have the monopoly on faith or God. So you pro-lifers out there, you don't have a monopoly on that. At least it says anti-abortion. And what is abortion? Okay. And this is what the notice from the Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio reads, many faith leaders and people of faith hold that accessing and providing abortions are good and godly decisions. Look at that. Call good, evil, and evil. They call evil good. This is a good and godly decision to kill a baby. Think about that. Of course, they don't think it's a baby, I guess. I don't know what they think. I think I saw where Roe versus Wade, that the whole premise of that, the judges decided that before a baby comes into the world and is actually born, has no rights under the Constitution. Okay? In other words, because it's not an individual person yet until after it's born is what it sounds like to me. They have no rights as an individual under the Constitution until after they come out of the womb. But before they come out of the womb, they have no rights under the Constitution of the United States. Now, before that decision was ever made, abortion was against the law. It's murder, actually. And I show you in the Bible. So they said that. The title of the notice was Holy Ground Blessing the Sacred Holy Ground Blessing of the Sacred Space of Decision. The sacred space of decision. To make a decision to abort your child is sacred. Really? That's what it sounds like to me. Okay. During this clinic blessing, participants will gather with local faith leaders and guests to ask for God's blessings or God's blessing upon Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio's East Columbus Surgical Facility. The abortion providers and staff and all those who pass through the center, the notice adds. Wow.
I won't be attending.
I don't think I will be either. But that is kind of sad though, isn't it? I mean, well, maybe somebody's not convinced that what it is. Well, what does the Bible say about that thing that's in the mother's womb? Did that too, yeah. That's right. He absolutely did. Luke 1:44 says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." The fetus leaped in my womb for joy. The non-person leaped in my womb for joy. Really? The word babe was translated child, infant, young child, and babe five times.
And it was able to leap
for joy.
It had
I mean, it leaped on this salutation. It wasn't some, you know, I don't know, accident or whatever, or, you know, just a reflex that some animal would have. The babe leaped for joy. I'll give you something better than that, really. In Exodus 20, and I remember reading this too and studying in the past, because I did a little study on abortion a while back, but I remember this is a good verse for you, okay? If men Exodus 21:22. If men strive and hurt a woman with fetus, I'm sorry, with child, okay, with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow. In other words, the child's okay, nothing's wrong. He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So even if he causes a miscarriage, but yet the baby's fine and everything, he's still going to be judged for doing that. All right. And if any mischief follow, let's say what happened. Something happens to the baby. If any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Wow. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Notice that. Life for life. That's pretty serious, huh? That was a life that got aborted, or miscarriage in this case. So when the abortionist goes in and aborts a child, he is taking the life of a human being, and he should be put to death. It's murder. Life for life is what that, under God's law, he would die for doing that. Well, I'm sorry, but I mean, that's life for life. I can't help it. Woe unto them, they call evil good and good evil. It fits them perfectly, doesn't it? I think so. Yep. And evil good, yeah. Yeah. What did she say? It's illegal, it's immoral to have a wall, but she's got a wall around her house, I bet you. You know. If you live in a bad section of town, it's absolutely immoral for you to put up bars on your window and lock your doors, because those people out there ought to have a right to come in and get some of your food. If they need it. And you should welcome them. You can see the nonsense of this stuff. I mean, it's ridiculous, okay? But anyway, I didn't mean to get sidetracked, but I wanted to. And I saw where, was it in New York, they just passed a bill, Cuomo, thought it was the greatest thing on earth, that you can have an abortion up to 9 months, all the way to the end. He celebrated it. Now, even the Catholic Church says he's in danger of excommunication. I'll tell you what he is. He's lost. That's what the problem is. He's just lost.
You look at what's happened to you. You got abortion. It wasn't long after there, now we have gay marriage.
Yeah.
It won't be long you'll be able to have to be with your children or your pets or whatever comes down the path. It'll all become okay.
Yeah. And you can even decide your gender.
Yep.
You know, it's we're living a sad, sick time. And yet this country seems to be so prosperous in a way. But that tells me it's coming to an end. You really think that God's just going to ignore all this? I just find it hard to believe, you know. I mean, did he ignore Israel's sins when they were offering their children to Molech and all the other, you know, and to Baal and all this stuff? And they're doing the same thing. Did he overlook it? No. I think he talked about their blood was on their skirts, if I remember right, or something like that. Speaking of the women. But anyway, let's get back to our verse. I'm sorry. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. His seed remaineth in him. Now, I don't think this is speaking of the preached word or the gospel or something like that. But the seed of God, you know, in regeneration. You know, when human seed, man's seed, impregnates a woman and she conceives, that child takes on that man's nature. So we have the nature of Adam. You know, that's why we're sinners, you know. But in this, there's the nature of God in the new birth, right? And so I think that's the idea here. And I read what Gil said. I don't think he agreed with that. Okay. And so I think it's not even the written word, although the written word is, and I'm gonna mention that, is important to us and all that, and it, you know, it's a lot of things to us. But I think here it speaks of that which carries the nature of God, just as the father's seed carries his nature, so the new man in regeneration has with it the very nature of God. In other words, that, I think that's the idea here. And like I said, it's not that the written word of God doesn't have a special place in the believer's heart, for it does. But why does it have a place there? Why does now the believer love what the natural man hates? Because the seed of God is in him. He's born of God. He's a partaker of the divine nature, is what it. Oh yeah, be wallowing and wouldn't think nothing of this, wouldn't like it. Probably think that these liberals out there and all the ungodliness are okay. I don't know. But it says here he cannot sin because he is born of God. Gill says, for that which is born of God in him does under the influence of the Spirit, power, and grace of God preserve him from the temptations of Satan, the pollutions of the world, and the corruptions of his own heart. Yeah, that's all in there. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath hoped that we would walk in. No. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's foreordained it. So he did not say he hoped that we should walk in them, but that we were foreordained to walk in them. And this condition of walk, the word walk there also means life. So this new life, this new walk, the condition of it is in the ability of God who is the workman. Not in my ability. We are his workmanship. He's the one that's working this. Okay. First, let me read some other verses we already covered. This one, 1 John 2:29 says, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Not shall be, is born. In other words, the one that does right, he is born of him. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, some other verses. 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. So that means, yeah, brotherly love. If you love Jesus Christ truly, then you will truly love the ones that are begotten of Jesus Christ. Well, that makes sense. Birds of a feather flock together. Yes, you know. Yeah, true family. There you go. I like that. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 5:4, 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So as I keep alluding to, it's a different, he's a different person. That's all I'm trying to say. Not saying without sin or anything like that. I don't think that's what it's talking about. Even though it says all this, however, the believer is not without responsibility, and the Bible says a lot of things concerning that. Neither give place to the devil, tells us not to give place to the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Something to do right there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so there's some wrestling going on, right? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's some wrestling that we're doing. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Tells us to do a few things, doesn't it? Yeah. And guess what? We'll have a desire to do that. Because we're created because of that new creation, right? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There's a lot of things there for us to do. In verse 10, it says, in this, looking back what he said in the previous verse, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In other words, this manifests that they're the children of God. It doesn't cause them to be the children of God, but they're the children of God are manifested. Yeah, right. In other words, you can, hey, there's a change in him. Something happened to him. It is manifest that he's a child of God. And he's a child of God by adoption, and that adoption was predestinated. Predestinated unto the adoption of children, according to, remember that? In Ephesians. So, in this, that he, which is born of God, lives a different life, and his godliness is the godliness of Christ and not the world. That's, and that is manifest that they're the children of God. As I've already said, the ungodly are righteous in their own eyes and do not need the righteousness of Christ. And the born-again believer can see through all that folly, can't we? We really can. I mean, you know, it's hard to believe, but, you know, I'm telling you, when you understand grace and that God's the one that's doing all this and what Christ did for us at the cross, and it just wasn't some potential, but actually achieved our salvation, I mean, you can rest in that. Yeah, and you can see through all their folly out there, can't you? And they look so religious and right. Gill says, regeneration in faith, I like this, listen to this, this is good. Regeneration in faith do not make men the children of God, but manifest them to be so. Yeah. Adoption makes them the children of God and entitles them to the inheritance. Regeneration gives them the nature of the children of God. I like that. And makes them meet for it. And manifests their right unto it. Not to the men of the world, it sure don't, but to themselves and other saints. That's how we know. Right? I like that. That's a good statement. Adoption, we already said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to what? The good pleasure of his will. That's pretty simple. Pretty simple, but the religious world so hates it. I don't know why, but you just do. And notice the divide here. He lists only two categories as far as I can tell, right? There are two classes of people mentioned in this verse, and only two, the children of God and the children of the devil. That's what he said, huh? There's no in-betweeners. In this is manifested the children of God as opposed to the children of the devil. I don't, you know, that's pretty serious, I guess. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. That would be manifest as children of the devil. You know, maybe they are predestinated unto adoption, and later on down the line, they're saved. I understand that, but you want to say something, Brother Keith?
No,
oh, okay. Something's fixing to come out of your mouth, I thought. Yeah.
So that's
just showing
the children of the devil.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You do the works of Abraham. He saw my day and rejoiced, and all that. Yeah. So whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God. That is, doeth the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of men. Men may do what they think is righteous, but that's not the righteousness of God. This person is not born of God, obviously, and does not have the nature of the new man, which is from God. He that doeth not righteousness is not of God. But they think they do.
Solution.
Yes, sir?
When he said you and your father are the devil, he wasn't talking about that motorcycle gang or this bunch of terrorists. He was talking to religious
people.
People were doing things
Yeah, that they thought was good.
He said, you the children of the
devil. Yeah. In fact, I was going to read a couple of scriptures. Go, oh, no, I'm glad you mentioned it. Matthew 7:22, many will say unto me in that day, this one too, Brother Keith, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So they thought these works were righteous works. Obviously, if they're wonderful works, they must have been good stuff, huh? And they thought it was righteousness. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Gosh, they were work. They thought they were doing right, and they were actually working iniquity.
That's
sin. That which is not of faith is sin, is what the Bible says, right? So that's pretty serious.
That's why it's so hard to talk to it. Well, I'm doing good. I'm doing right.
Yeah. There you go. And he goes on to say, neither he that loveth not his brother, he's not of God either. That's what it says here, right? He that loves God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, will also love the brethren. This makes sense. Okay? That is, those that are born of God, they have the same new nature. Wouldn't they love that new nature in that believer? I think so. That's one of the things we fellowship around, is our mutual faith in Jesus Christ. And boy, I don't care how ugly you are, I can fellowship with you on that. You know, I'm getting pretty old and ugly. I'm sorry. You understand what I'm saying? It goes on to say, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. We already read that scripture. I think it fits with this fine, though. For this, in verse 11, for this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Now, when he says from the beginning here, I thought, is he talking about from the beginning of the world, or maybe the beginning of the preaching of the gospel when Christ came? Gil thought that's what it meant. I don't know. I think loving your brother has been in the law since the beginning too. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So I don't know. And remember, Cain killed Abel because he didn't love his brother. So I don't know. From the beginning, but it says from the beginning. John 13:34 says, Jesus said, and a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. In other words, that's that manifestation again, right? If ye have loved one to another. Now, I think he's speaking about, I don't know if the general world out there, I think we ought to love everyone, to, you know, do good to your enemies and stuff, to a certain part. But this is speaking of the believers and the brethren in Christ, is what I think he's speaking of here. Love one another. He's talking about his disciples. Love one another. 1 John 2:7, we read this, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Then in 1 John 4:7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of the God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. There you go again. But this love is not as Cain in verse 12, not as, in other words, love one another. You should love one another. Love your brother in Christ. Not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. That's why he slew him. Now, think about this. Cain was a religious man, wasn't he? I think he was. He brought an offering to God, didn't he? But that offering was really works. It was works. Okay, but he was religious. But he says here he was a wicked man. So in his religiosity, if you will, his offering was wickedness. It was sin. Because it pointed to his ability and not the providence of God in providing a substitute and a blood sacrifice. So those that deny this bloody sacrifice and this bloody gospel, and if you deny that, what does that say? Just like Cain. They have gone the way of Cain, right? And so he looked to his own works and his own hands and not to the work of God. And you know, think about this. It has been, and I'm going to probably finish a little early because just about as much as I got. It has been the religious world that has persecuted God's people more than any other group of people, hasn't it? Think about that.
And you guys, the truth should be even spoken of.
Yeah.
What group of churches are so small right now that everybody thinks we're bad?
Yeah, religious people.
Any group that does anything about works or whatever, they look at the people who are sovereign grace people, and they say, those people are bad.
Bad, right. And if you try to talk to someone about even an election, they say, well, why do you think you're so special? Or, you are so proudful, aren't you? And yet they don't even understand that it's the opposite of that. Because God chose us not because we're something about us. Because we're the lowest of the low. And I don't know why, but it points to His sovereignty and His grace, and it's all of His love. And in love He predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. It's all about Him, not about us. And so, whatever. And so it's been the religious world. I think all men are religious to some degree, even if they worship Mother Earth. You know, they got some religious tint to them, if you will. Even the atheists, I think they worship something. They worship something, I don't know, themselves or whatever, their own intellectual ability or whatever, I don't know. And so it was the religious Pharisees that were the most pious before men that made sure that Jesus was put to death. Before men, they looked about as good as you could get. But inwardly, they weren't. Dead men's bones. They were like a sepulcher full of, yeah, like you said, white on the outside, but inwardly full of dead men's bones. They weren't. They put him. They made sure he was put to death. Even if they may have got the Romans to do it, they did it, and they called him evil, and they called good evil. He was good. There was no sin in him, and they said he was a sinner and worthy of death. Absolutely. Yeah, made himself God. He was God, manifest in flesh. Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been there in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which kill the prophets." All right. "Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers." Wow. The most pious religious people that have ever been on the face of the earth. And he says, "You vipers, you generation of vipers, you serpents, how shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" What a pronunciation on them. And man, they trusted they were righteous. They did. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." They did that. That upon you, may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of that righteous Abel unto blood of Zacharias son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. In other words, you are the same religious bunch that has been from the very beginning. You're just like Cain. You're religious and you're murderers. He murdered his brother. and he hates the truth. That's absolutely right. And so he says, woe unto them, kind of the same woe that Isaiah talked about. Woe unto you. You know, they call evil good and good evil. That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. So he's, verse 13, we'll stop there. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't marvel at it. Think about it. They hated Christ, right? They hated the Lord Jesus Christ, the most the perfect man, the impeccable Christ, the one that was incapable of sinning. They hated him without a cause. Freely, it's that word freely there, without a cause. And he did something to us freely. Without a, there was no cause in us. They hated Christ. And if we be followers of him and have been given a new nature that is after his nature, then the same world that hated him is going to hate us. Doesn't that make sense? It's going to hate the believer that's born of God. Jesus said it, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Yeah, right. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Because I've chosen you out of the world and regenerated and given you a new nature. No. Chosen you out of the world. There's that election again. Oh, wow. It's everywhere, isn't it? Sorry, it is. I said sorry yesterday in that nursing home. Remember that? And I said, never mind. I'm not sorry. That's a bad habit. Why am I apologizing for what the Word of God says? You know, that's stupid on my part. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. For my name's sake. That's why they hate us. For my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Yep. Verse 14, we'll stop. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So it goes on, and we'll cover the rest of these verses next Sunday, I guess. But really, the rest of these verses kind of just go along with what's been said right here. You know, you could read the rest and almost not really have to, you know, comment on them too much more. Huh? We can probably at least read through them again, you know. Maybe make a little comment and go on to the next chapter. I don't know. Anyway, God bless y'all. I guess I'll ring the bell.
He's like the people he was preaching about. When there are people back there, he's going to ring the bell. When there are people that are here, he rings the bell.
Oh, there's nobody back there?